Thank you so much for listening to the Midlife Rewired podcast. If this content is useful to you, please subscribe, rate, and share with your friends and loved ones. Midlife Rewired podcast. This is episode number 15, and this will be a solo podcast today. Topic today is three ways to get hooked on meditation. There's no question now about what the benefits of meditation are. They're well documented and researched. Chronic stress reduction, improved mental and emotional health, self-awareness, the list goes on. I can just tell you personally, it just brings you another level of joy and peace that you can't necessarily experience without putting the work in. So the purpose of this podcast is not to really get into the benefits of meditation. So the purpose of this isn't to explore the definition of meditation, but rather to help you develop the meditation habit and establish a daily practice. Developing the habit is where the point most people get lost. So meditation is unique in that it's a life-improving habit that requires no purchase, no travel, and no external factors. You can do it any place, anytime. Just you and your breath. Meditation technique that I'll talk about a little bit in this guide is dynamic mindfulness meditation. And that's what I've been studying at the Mindfulness Center in Oakville for, I guess, 7 years now. But you can use whatever technique, app, or guided practice works for you. Essentially, this is all about creating the habit. Now, interestingly, I'll make a side note that I was at a session today with Maxine Speck, who was on my podcast recently. She's a Vedic healer from the Chopra Center. And she walked me through some primordial sound meditation techniques, which is a mantra. That's really interesting too. But again, this is about establishing a habit, and without a habit, you're not gonna meditate. So we'll start there. Just a quick story about my meditation. I've talked about this quite a bit, but I basically started meditating a little over 10 years ago. Ran a very much unconscious program for years, and you know, I found outer world success regardless of this, and you know, I had a really fun time and had a really good life, and I'm not complaining about anything at all, but this has given me another level of awareness and another level of joy and peace that I've never experienced before. So prior to that, you know, I basically had the emotional intelligence of a caveman. I've had anger issues, and you know, I was a horrible road rager, and you know, things like self-love and self-care and kindness were concepts that didn't really seem masculine enough to be on my radar. It wasn't macho enough, I guess. Spent a lot of time distracted in autopilot, you know, in a constant state of problem solving and a lot of partying. It was a lot of partying. And interestingly, when I actually started meditating, I'm still very ego-driven. I like to call myself a meditator. I would take some courses and classes and I would meditate a little bit, but it was more about me telling people that I'm a meditator versus actually embodying that habit. Once I really sort of embodied the habit, more so kind of fell in line with the lifestyle, that's where the big changes started to happen. So there's a lot of fluff out there with meditation. I mean, it's a busy space right now, so I'm hoping that this podcast, this is gonna be a short one, that's just gonna kind of help you maybe speed up some time. And if I had this information years ago, I would have saved myself a lot of time. I'd be a lot further down the road than I am right now. You know, I spent a lot of time stopping and starting, practicing incorrect techniques, all kinds of trial and error. I spent a lot of time really sort of thinking on the cosmic side and the woo-woo side and expecting some kind of mystical experience when really it's not always that sexy or interesting. It's a lot of time it's just about work. It's about repetition to reprogram your mind. So many people try meditation and very few establish an ongoing practice. I really know a lot of amazing people. I'm very blessed to have so many, such a great group of friends and family, but I don't necessarily know a lot of people that have made meditation a daily practice. So I'm gonna be harping on this to everybody who will listen for the next foreseeable future, because it's just such an important thing, and this is sort of my way of hopefully helping other people find some peace and joy. But you know, with meditation, it really takes consistency and discipline to move the needle. You know, the more time you do it, the deeper you get. You know, the deeper your curiosity becomes, the deeper your awareness comes. Rome wasn't built in a day, but You know, you've got purpose and passion. You know, you keep the sessions short initially, you're going to get there. You're going to notice things happening. So I want to talk about four major obstacles that we must overcome to establish a daily practice. So a combination of all of these roadblocks, or just some of them, basically prevent us from establishing a practice. So if you're aware of this going into it, you know, it's and realize it's normal to feel this way, there's a much better chance that you're not going to get frustrated and quit. There are four obstacles, and they include, number one, no time. So how do you overcome this? Well, you got to schedule the time. No one ever established a practice in their spare time. You can't make this a spare time thing because it won't happen, period. So you need to schedule the time. Number two is procrastination. How do we overcome this? Well, we do all kinds of other things first until there is no time to practice. So we got to make practice a priority. So again, it goes back to time. They're kind of interchangeable. Book the time, stick with the time, put it in your calendar. Number three, reluctance and resistance while practicing. Thinking, daydreaming, and planning and ruminating. So how do we overcome this? Well, you got to develop a strong motivation to learn the mind. You really have to have a strong why. And number four is self-doubt. And this is a big one too. So, you know, basically people feel that this is useless and I can't do this. I've heard that so many times. I can't stop my mind. I can't do it. Or other things seem more important than actual meditating. So how do you overcome this? Well, you got to develop a strong motivation, but you got to have a sense of trust that the process will pay off. And you got to persevere. Know that you put the time in, you'll get the signs. It's just like going to the gym. You don't walk into the gym and 2 weeks later expect to see kind of any kind of major result. You got to put the time in, rep by rep, day by day, doing all the right things. You know, it's a bit of a grind overcoming yourself initially, but stick with that and you will see results. Okay, so three ways of establishing a meditation practice, getting hooked on meditation. Number one is creating the habit. So this is about defining a purpose, a goal, and why. So before I go any further, it's very important to look yourself in the mirror and be truthful and clear on why you should establish a meditation practice. Do you typically operate from a powerful state of mind, like love and joy and gratitude? Or are you often in that primal state of mind where you're in fear and fight or flight? And do you notice when you shift between those two? Are you focusing on what's important to you and those around you, such as your health, family, happiness, goals, purpose, and career, and asking yourself how you can improve the way you manage life's inevitable struggle? If you choose not to establish a practice, how will this lack of discipline and effort affect all of these areas and people in your life? These are important questions. To me, the answer is clear. Nothing much will change from your current reality without doing the work and being diligent. Remember that your ego, everyone's greatest obstacle, will resist the change. And the four obstacles I outlined earlier will become quite evident. I can't stress enough how important defining your why is in creating this life-changing habit that will allow you to overcome yourself and your limiting beliefs. Step two in getting hooked on meditation is owning your morning. This is huge. So how do we create time in our busy lives to consistently practice formal meditation without distraction? And those who claim they don't have time need mindfulness the most. The answer comes down to one very powerful life-changing habit, and that is locking down your morning routine. You can ask any of the masters or high achievers, and they will almost always describe a solid morning routine. Now, when I left the corporate world to embark on the path of entrepreneurship, I threw away my alarm clocks and woke up whenever I felt like it. You know, I wore that freedom like a badge of honor. You know, it's pretty much all those years of school and all those years of getting up every day. You know, when I was done with that, I was like, fuck the alarm clock. It's over. But over the last couple of years, and partly of necessity of just kind of finding some quiet time in my life, raising young children, I've become an early riser. And there's some peace and magic in that early morning before the sun rises that fosters creativity and mastery to manifest your life. So there are two types of main meditation practices, formal and informal. I can honestly say now that I absolutely cherish my morning routine. I look forward to it. I actually jump out of bed. Can't say I'm necessarily excited at that moment about getting out of bed, but very quickly after I fall into that routine, and I really, really cherish that morning. So that's huge. There are two main types of meditation practices, really, and it really comes down to a formal and an informal meditation. So I'm going to start with formal practice. And that basically is the core of all the practice that should be scheduled daily. Formal meditation really is the sitting and doing the work. The most significant part of rising early is the opportunity to meditate with a clear mind and without interruption or excuse to return to a never-ending to-do list. So it's easy to find a reason to skip meditation during a busy day or in the evening with business, social events, family, all the shit that comes up. Some people meditate before bed, and I would recommend that you do this as well, kind of bookend your day with that, but I wouldn't recommend that be your core meditation time. The problem with bedtime is that you can easily fall asleep, and being sleepy makes meditation difficult. So nighttime meditation should be an opportunity for your second practice, but as a first, it's very tricky because you will be sleepy at that point. So for me, having flexibility and creativity in my morning routine is important. You know, depending on travel or what I'm doing that particular day, I need to shuffle things around. But I would say I'm at least 80% of the time I have an exact routine. And that doesn't mean I skip the other 20%. There's no days off for me. So I'm going to quickly just run through my morning routine. And again, this is just me, but there's a lot of nuggets here that you may find useful. So first off is that 5 a.m. wake up. So I get out of bed inside 2 minutes. And, you know, if you go to bed at a reasonable hour, and sleep is so important, so I never recommend skipping sleep. But if you go to bed at the right time, it makes it a lot easier to get up in the morning. When I get up, the first thing I do is hydrate. I drink about a liter of water, and I do a fresh squeezed lemon water as well. And then I'll take another liter of water in a bottle to carry. So I have an exercise recumbent bike at home. I like to do 20 minutes of fasted cardio at this point. The idea here is to do something that generates sweat. You know, if you can't, you don't have the means of doing cardio, you can just do some type of calisthenics, some stretching, yoga, something to move the body really, really helps sort of wake the mind. Then it's time for my meditation. So post-exercise, my body's relaxed and my mind is alert, open, and accepting to greater focus. So the final thing I do in my morning routine after my meditation is basically gratitude, journaling, and learning of some sort. So I'll take another 20 minutes or so post-meditation. I'll list 5 things I'm grateful for, and I'll also keep a little journal of what I noticed during my meditation. It's always a good idea to kind of keep a journal of your meditation practice, you know, just like you keep a journal if you're at the gym to track your reps and weight, and etc. It's just a good way of keeping things moving, keeping things fresh, and understanding sort of what you need to adjust as you go. Now, as far as the cardio goes and the meditation goes, those two, some days, are interchangeable. I might meditate first, depending on how I feel, but typically I do it in that order. If you don't have time for early exercise and already plan a workout during the day or evening, you know, you can just skip that, but don't skip the meditation is the point. The morning is the best time to really have that meditation. You're awake, you're alert, and, you know, again, even a few minutes a day is enough to start. But I do want to note, again, that proper sleep, you know, is so important. Proper sleep, proper nutrition, body movement. You know, these things are critical to our overall mental and physical health. If you don't have time for early exercise and already plan a workout during the day or evening, you know, I'd usually do another workout after of some sort of weights or yoga during the day. Whatever you do, don't skip the meditation in the morning. Even if it's, again, if it's a few minutes a day to start, that's all you need. But it's also important to note that proper sleep and exercising your body daily, proper nutrition, are absolutely critical to our mental and physical health. So once I've done all this, I basically then still have time. Nobody in my house has woken up at that point. You know, I listen to a podcast, prep my meals for the day, breakfast if I'm not fasting. And, you know, I leave the house at 8 o'clock feeling like a sense of peace and clarity and resilience. And I go into my day just feeling like I'm good. I'm full and I'm ready to accept whatever challenges may come. Another note is to not look at your phone in the morning. You know, like I never look at social media or anything before 8 a.m. If I'm posting something, I schedule it ahead of time. But, you know, regardless of what routine you may employ in your life, it's also massively beneficial that you don't look at your phone until you've done the routine. Don't let that noise steal your energy and create stress. So just to conclude the morning routine, you know, be accountable. Keep that promise to yourself to create this powerful habit. Keeping promises to ourselves in general will raise our self-confidence if we're able to rely on our own word and stick to what we say we're going to do. So step number 3 on getting hooked on meditation is basically around community and training. You know, so if you're able to go on a weekend retreat or join some kind of group or community, these are excellent ways of establishing a meditation practice. You know, the harmony and the support and the empathy of working with a class or a group of like-minded people is very powerful. You know what? And also taking a class will reduce your chances of quitting because you've committed to this hopefully monetarily, you've put some money down, you've got some skin in the game, and you're going to stick to it. You know, there's also something magic about immersing yourself into a new habit and then working on your own later to support it. So this will kind of help you create that habit on a different angle, and then you can continue doing it. So, I mean, I recall learning to surf with an instructor for the first time when I was in Hawaii. I knew nothing about surfing, never been on a surfboard. You know, however, that one day on the water hooked that for life. I mean, I never felt anything like that. You know, if I had started at home on a surfboard in my living room, you know, and watching a video on TV, like, it wouldn't have had the same effect at all. So, you know, to be fair, meditation is not as sexy as surfing. Metaphor for life's inevitable struggle and the positive effects of practice. Meditation is not relaxing or thinking with your eyes closed. I think a lot of people get confused there. That's a major misconception. So there's 6 points to consider as you establish a practice. So don't get overwhelmed about knowing all these steps or anything like that right away. You know, it's called the practice for a reason. It takes time to find your groove. The main point of this is to simply help you get hooked on the practice. Okay, they include, 1, what is your motivation and purpose? So examples of this might be to become calmer, to be more aware, sleep better, less stress. 2, what is your goal? Well, this might be to strengthen your focus or attention or center yourself prior to a busy day ahead. 3, what is your expectation? There should be some enjoyment in your practice. So don't put pressure on yourself. And remember, the only bad meditation is the one that you don't do. 4, wholeheartedly engage in practice. Now that should be self-explanatory. I mean, don't schedule the time to give a half-ass effort. Like, go all in. 5, inventory potential distractions. If you're having a bad day or dealing with various issues, be aware of that, but don't engage in it during your practice. I know that's easier said than done, but intend to park the bullshit for now and be in the moment. 6, review your alignment. Okay, so I'm not going to get into any kind of technique today, as I mentioned earlier, but the guide that I'm kind of walking through today, 3 ways to get hooked on meditation, is something I wrote a while ago. It's available on my website to download for free at midliferewire.com. In that guide, you can actually review some more detail around formal meditation practice steps. There's one part that has 15 steps in sequence, and if you follow those steps, step by step by step, starting with your alignment, you can really get yourself into a better position to make the most of your meditation time. This took me a long time to get my head around and practice and do properly. So I've kind of like really kind of streamlined that information, so you can pick that up there. There's informal practice and there is formal practice. So we talked a bit about formal practice. Informal practice is basically your day-to-day life and being mindful. It's about that, you know, it's just like that analogy when you've been in traffic driving from point A to point B and you get to point B and you don't hardly remember the ride at all. You were somewhere else. You were in autopilot mode. You're turning, you're signaling, you're maybe cursing at people, but you don't remember a fucking thing about it. And that's basically when we need to wake up and become mindful. So every single time you can take yourself out of that autopilot mode into formal awareness and become present and awake, that is a win. That is a way to slowly rewire your brain for presence. And, you know, there's all kinds of different techniques that you can do around this. You know, there's one, for example, called the 3-minute stopping and starting breath meditation. It's basically just breathing. You set your smartphone or whatever to alert you 3 times a day to stop and take some breaths for about 3 minutes. Daily informal mindfulness practice is something that we can incorporate every day. Mindfulness is an attitude in the present moment without judgment, you know, so the breath is always the easiest way to wake yourself up. So I will always rely on my breath. If I'm starting to feel something come up, I'm feeling a little anger, a little anxiety, feeling a little blue, whatever the case, I will sit with my breath and just say, hey, that's interesting. Where is that coming from? And there comes a point in your practice when you flip that switch and you're able to become present more quickly through the breath. And that's where, you know, it really, really starts to change your sort of baseline of happiness and stress and resilience. Just to close this off, there's another thing that, you know, we don't often do. A lot of us live in urban areas now. You know, getting the fuck outdoors, into the forest, into the lake, into nature, listening to the birds, listening to the wind whistling through the trees. Nature in its perfection, it leaves us feeling calm and balanced and connected and aware. This is meditation too. This is informal meditation. So I totally recommend getting out in nature, just breathing it in, slowing down, and just like being in the moment, being grateful for your life and everything you have. So anyway, hopefully you got a few nuggets out of this today. Again, get the habit established, and that means scheduling that time and then chipping away at it from there. But saying you're going to do it or leaving it open to chance means that you probably won't do it. You're going to continue to suffer. Have a beautiful week. I feel like I should end this podcast with namaste, but I'm not there yet. All right. Later.